What's the latest news? Give us an update.
Well, you're absolutely right in your summary there that things are uncertain, basically. And I think the parties are at the moment probably taking their time over initiating formal discussions over government formation. And that'll happen over the next couple of weeks. And people are also just waiting for the counting of special votes. So that'll make a bit of a difference to the final result. And normally special votes shift the balance, say one seat towards the Greens normally. So National might lose a seat, the Green Party might pick one up. But that won't change the overall landscape really significantly.
And just to clarify, special votes are those that are cast not in New Zealand, is that correct?
Yes, either people who are outside of New Zealand or people inside New Zealand who might have voted outside of their home electorate, or they might have just enrolled at the in the last few days.
Now, let's touch on the young Labour leader, 37-year-old Jacinda Ardern, and how she became leader of the Labour Party. How significant was her leadership in turning around the result for what seemed like it was going to be the National Party marching to a fairly romping victory?
Well, it made a huge difference for Labour, that's for sure. And 7 weeks ago, the Labour Party was doing rather poorly in opinion polls. Now, in the 2014 election, Labour did really badly and got 25% of the party vote. And it looked like Labour was heading down to that sort of territory again, if not below. So Andrew Little, who was the former leader, just made a pretty much a snap decision as far as we're aware. And basically, as it turns out, did the right thing for the party by standing down, handing over to Jacinda, who was at that time deputy leader, and she was definitely a very popular figure. And she just seemed to, create a huge surge, a great effect. And so she's lifted Labour's performance this time up to 35.8% of the party vote. So that, is a good 10% lift in Labour's party vote between 2014 and 2017. And so from that point of view, it's been a really great for the Labour Party. Not so good for the Green Party, who suffered as a result, and they've gone down to 5.9%. May go up a little bit with specials, and the New Zealand First Party down to 7.5%. So the big, I guess, international story about the New Zealand election really was about Jacinda and the way that she lifted the Labour vote, but it wasn't enough to make it clear that Labour would lead the next government. The National Party is still riding pretty high on election night, 46% of the party vote, and at the last election it was 47%. So they haven't really lost a lot.
Yes, and let's just touch on a party you mentioned there, New Zealand First, which is led by Winston Peters, who's a long-time custodian of New Zealand politics, you'd have to say, and often he seems one who often raises a bit of rabble or trouble, I guess you could say. He appears to be somewhat of a kingmaker in this scenario. Is it at all possible that most money's on the idea that he'll form some sort of confidence and supply motions in favour of the National Party? Is it at all possible that he would team up with the Greens, a party who he's not a particularly big fan of at all, and Labour to form an opposition coalition?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I mean, just looked at in terms of sheer numbers, the National New Zealand First combination in some kind of coalition or confidence and supply arrangement. We don't know what the details would be yet, but National plus New Zealand First is a two-party arrangement. It's a clear majority, and the National Party have already said that's what they want to aim for. Bill English, was the incumbent Prime Minister, was saying on election night that he intends to initiate discussions with New Zealand First at the earliest opportunity and to form a government. So that's pretty clear. That's the most obvious option, put it that way. But yeah, if you add up the seats for Labour plus Green plus New Zealand First, you get a one-seat majority. Now, that might lift by one or two seats after specials are counted. And so in theory, you could have a Labour New Zealand First Green arrangement. Now, that's politically speaking, that's a rather awkward arrangement, because New Zealand First and the Green Party really don't see eye to eye And so we're not quite sure that if that was to be, you know, lead to some serious negotiations as to what sorts of compromises would be necessary to get there. It's not quite clear.
Looking back on the New Zealand election, how do you think it'll be written of in terms of what issues do you think were the ones that played the biggest role around influencing voters and their decisions when it came to the ballot box?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because I think one of the great things about the campaign that we've just had was that it was, you know, very much focused on real policy issues, things that really matter. So there was a really significant debate about poverty and inequality, about housing unaffordability, about the environment, the quality of river water and climate change, and those sorts of questions were really up front. In the end, what kind of did the damage to Labor was National's attack on Labor's taxation policies, and Labor was a bit vulnerable there. So National took advantage of that, and that, so taxation turned into quite a significant issue in the election. But yeah, it was a very well fought election campaign. It was, you know, I think largely a fair fight, except for National possibly telling one or two, making some misrepresentations really about Labor's tax policy. But other than that, yeah, it was a really good election campaign. You know, the big issues were out there up front. But of course, the big story of the campaign will, of course, be the so-called Jacinda effect and the huge difference that she made overall to Labor's fortunes.
And you'd expect that she would continue on in her role. Now, I suppose I want to ask a broader question now about political theory in the world. 2016 seemed to be the year where we jumped towards mass change and quite radical change from what we had, particularly with Brexit, the rise of One Nation in Australia. But obviously, most famously probably, was the election of US President Donald Trump. Mm. Now, it looks like 2017 might be the year where the move is back to the centre, a more well-known, it's almost as if people have opted back for the devil we know. Now, you'd look at the Holland election where we had a radical candidate, perhaps even the United Kingdom where there was something that was vastly different to what was on offer with the Corbyn up against Theresa May, but Theresa May still ended up forming government. Do you think that's what's happened here in New Zealand, that we had someone that was quite different to what New Zealanders had elected previously, which still was able to shake up the system, but wasn't quite able to get over the line? Do you think that fits into the kind of global narrative right now?
Yeah, there are some similarities between the New Zealand election and the UK election, with a surge for Labor, but not quite making it to a clear majority. And also, I think it's a really good point you raised too about the huge sort of populist shift that seemed to be happening last year with Brexit and Trump and so forth. And of course, we had UKIP's Nigel Farage talking confidently about a great global revolution and that kind of thing. So many of us in New Zealand at the beginning of the year were wondering, well, you know, would this kind of anti-immigration, protectionist, populist kind of sentiment affect our election? If it did, of course, it would be the populist New Zealand First Party and Winston Peters who would lead that charge. But as it turns out, no, it didn't happen that way. It turned back to pretty much a traditional two-party National versus Labor race. New Zealand First obviously now play a prominent role in terms of government formation. But Winston Peters did not play the race card. He did not really take a strongly anti-immigration stand. I think he realised that the country, the mood of the country was not really in that direction. Sure, there is, unfortunately, a lot of anti-immigrant sentiment in this country, like there is all around the world, but it tends to be concentrated in the New Zealand First Party base, support base. And yet, yeah, Winston Peters did not really push that line really, really strongly during the election. And so, I think that immigration was not a hot-button issue in this election campaign. And we were fortunately spared that populist, anti-immigrant or xenophobic kind of debate. So, yeah, I would say maybe the signs are that populist surge globally is kind of past its peak, really.
Now, just quickly, as we head up to the news headlines to SCR on the Monday Daily, my guest here is Associate Professor Grant Duncan. Do you think the New Zealand government will be formed, I guess, in the next week? Can we expect to see that this election will deliver a concrete result by the end of the week?
Maybe a bit longer than that. It's 2 weeks for special votes to be counted, and I think the parties will probably want to wait for the final numbers. And it's really not a big deal because, you know, we have clear conventions of caretaker government to take care of things in the meantime. But, yeah, no, 2 or 3 weeks maybe. I mean, if you were wanting to place bets on it, you'd probably, your safe money would be that the outcome would be a National New Zealand First coalition. But it's too early to tell what the details of any coalition agreements would be.
Thank you very much for joining Breakfast, or rather the Monday Daily.